Hey there, everyone. Hi, it's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. Well, we are a program that helps people understand more about the Akashic Records and why we are the way we are as humans. And the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. And so every thought, every word, every deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. So tonight I'm wanting to welcome whoever would like to call in with their questions. We have a couple of questions already on the email, on my email. And if you would like to email me a question, that's great. My email address is info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. That's A-K-A. S-H-I-C-W-I-S-D-O-M, and you can email me directly. Also, I have, you have the call-in numbers, but if not, you can call in, and if you're in the U.S., at 877-876-5227, or in Canada, 888-815-9756. And if you would like to call direct, you can call 530-876-3222. So I just wanted to give those numbers out. And I wanted to, you know, it's funny. Tonight I'm going to really do my best to serve you all. I'm actually feeling a little sad tonight. My cat's sick, and I don't know if you've ever had a sick animal, but this animal is very dear to me. She's a sweet little baby, and I mean, she's not a baby cat. She's an older cat. She's 11, but she's my cat, and she's sick. So I am, you know, I'm sad and I'm puzzled, and yet I understand. You know, that's the thing about loss. I mean, she's not dead yet. They suspect renal disease. But the interesting thing about when you have someone close to you that is on the brink or in a precarious situation, or you have the possibility of losing them, it makes you become more aware of all the wonderful things you love about them. And as much as I do this work, and as much as I really thought I was in gratitude for this wonderful being that has given me unconditional love, I sit and I realize that I too, like everyone, you know, we all have regrets. Oh, I should have done this, and I should have done that, and I should have realized this, and I should have realized that. And as I have my records open, I am truly being comforted knowing that our loved ones, both in the animal kingdom and in the human kingdom, and in the plant kingdom and the reptile kingdom, they do understand at a deeper level because we have such a deep contract with each one of them. And my little one also understands, and yet I am sad. So, yeah, sorry about that. I was doing good up until I started talking about it. Anyway, we're going to go on to some questions here, and would love to get some calls because I'd love to have some comments. There's a question here. The week before, we had talked about crystals, and this particular person, his name's Bob, and he's from Minnesota. Hi, Bob. Hope you're listening. It's his question. Let me just read it to you because I'm just sitting down to read the emails. So, on your radio show the week before last, you suggested that perhaps a show could be done on the use of gem and crystal energies for healing, balance, transformation, etc. It seemed there was an invitation for people using crystals to let you know, and perhaps a show could evolve from this. And so he's responding to that, and that he's been working with crystals for some time, specifically quartz crystals, and he's used them for healing purposes and taught a couple of classes. So what he also shares here is that his initial foundational knowledge for using came from channeled material about their use on Atlantis. And it was for the purposes of his own healing journey starting at about 10 years ago. And what he's also sharing with us is that quartz crystals can be programmed for various energies and purposes, linked together in sacred geometries to bring forward and amplify fifth dimensional energies to balance all aspects of our being, detoxify, heal tissue, and provide emotional healing. So, Bob, if you're out there, feel free to call in and talk about your crystals and your information. And anybody else who would like to call in and talk about crystals, you're totally welcome to do that. So we could have one show devoted to nothing but crystals. But if you would like to call in tonight, that'd be great. Now, what I want to also tell you is the interesting thing about crystals is I was talking to another listener earlier today, and we were talking about how when you know how to work with your crystals from an Akashic Records point of view, you can actually open your own records and go deeper into the information of the crystals. That's what Bob was talking about as well in his email. And from your own records, you can then ask permission to open the records of the crystal. You just have to find the name of the crystal, and sometimes that's given to you, and sometimes you just use the idea that the crystal is in your hands. So, and then you can glean some very interesting information. There's some folks in Kentucky that are students of mine that actually opened the records of this one crystal, and they found out some fascinating information. So we should have them on sometime. That'd be kind of fun thing. So here's what I'd like you to do. If in fact you work with crystals and have a deep relationship with the crystals and the information you receive, you really work with your crystals for healing, you know, please email me and I will actually put together a show with people, and I don't know how many people can be on the show at the same time. I think we're only able to have two guests at the same time, but we can work that out. We can have a little, you know, panel discussion about crystals. That sounds like it'd be fun. So if that's of interest to you, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. So anyway, okay, we also have another email from a gal by the name of Ingrid. And Ingrid, I hope you're listening. You actually have been asked some questions about your depression, and you want to understand about how to heal yourself from depression. And so I'm going to try and tune in for, if you will, and see what we can. Oops, I've got a caller. So Ingrid will be with you in just a minute. Hi there, who's this?
Hi, Donna, it's JoJo.
Oh, JoJo, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Okay, I'm getting better.
Well, I sent some prayers to you and your kitty.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Her name is Katie.
Katie,
yep. And she's been meowing in the background. I don't know if you can hear that or not.
How cute.
So anyway, how are you tonight?
I'm good. We have perfect weather out here. It's like 70 degrees at night, so...
In California, of course, but you're not where the fires are you?
No, just north of the fires.
Okay, well, good. I hope you can stay safe. That's great.
Yeah.
So what would you like to talk about this evening?
Well, it's interesting. While you're talking about the crystals, it came to me to mention, you know, prosperity and material abundance. But also last night I heard someone say that money is crystallized energy, crystallized power. So with, I guess with the subject of all you're talking about right now, is there, you know, what's the best thing to focus on, I guess for me and my records, what's the best thing to focus on in terms of bringing this crystallized energy, you know, the material abundance and prosperity into my life?
That's an interesting concept, that money is a crystallized energy.
Yeah.
I'm not... That is actually one opinion.
Okay.
Another way of looking at money is a flowing energy.
Okay.
And the picture I'm being shown is that of a water faucet. That we deny, although we have the ability to turn the faucet on and off anytime we want. And so, can you expand a little bit more about what your understanding was around the crystallized energy before
we go further? Well, you know, everything's energy, so
yeah.
It just seemed like the... Well, they said it was crystallized power, is what...
Crystallized power.
Yeah.
What did you think? Well, how do you feel about that comment?
I found it very interesting.
Does it feel like truth to you?
I don't know. It feels like it was just a different way of explaining it rather than looking at a piece of paper and something external. You know, it seemed like there was more to it than just, I mean, I know there's more to it, but it seemed like there was more to it than just this material good out in the world. There's actually something behind it, you know, where things are kind of falling apart in terms of the economy. Still on every bill is, you know, in God we trust. So there's
right.
some energy in there from Creator that is helping things along no matter what.
Right. What I'm hearing is that the prosperity consciousness prosperity consciousness in and of itself is based on trust. And the idea is that money is the paper money, you know, like a $100 bill, is a symbol of that consciousness, and the flow of your money has to do with the underlying sense of true trust of self in the universe. So when someone is not in the flow, there's an aspect of a lack of trust of self as a part of being either willing to receive or deserving to receive. There's a difference, you see. You're still with me, right?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Yes. So the idea is that there is a... it's really about... There's some people will say, well, I feel deserving and I feel willing to receive and still I'm not making any money. So what? Why is that? And the piece is, it's about moving underneath all of that attitude, if you will, because there's anger and judgment in that attitude. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so the idea is that what we as a country, if you will, and a country's consciousness, we need to be able to move out of the fear See, we're operating on fear right now. And the more we fear, it's going to spiral downward. Because you can't get to a higher place of consciousness when you're being sucked down by fear. And so there are going to be some people in this economy that are going to be fine. And there are going to be other people in this economy that are going to allow the fear to suck them down. And so what's going to be so important from this point forward is that we, again, as an individual and as a people, constantly move to our space of not only hope, but it's bigger than hope, even. It's knowing. And part of that knowing is this is very interesting. What they're saying is to look at history. And if from a historic point of view, the economic aspects of this country has been precarious and then got much better. The challenging part for us is that what brought us out of the Depression would seem to be the war in Europe. And yet, that's what it appeared to be. But that's not what happened. What they're telling me is that it was the point that people in and of themselves hit such a bottom place during the Great Depression that they actually leveled out their expectations and moved into the trust of self because they were able to realign with what was in the present rather than in the future. Now, I don't know how this all plays, but I'm just trying to explain what I'm hearing. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop for a moment and ask what you just heard me say, and the feedback how you heard that.
I guess I'll start at the end. It's like,
okay,
by being present, the people during the Depression learned gratitude.
Correct.
For what they had.
Yes.
As opposed to looking at what they didn't have, or what they used to have.
Or what they could have.
Or what they could have. It
right.
was all of a sudden like you're right here in this moment. It's like, do I have shoes? Yes. Do I have clothes? Yes. Do I have family and friends? Yes. Do I have food? Yes. It wasn't so much, and I don't know what it was like back then, but it's like, you know, didn't have the fancy car or couldn't go out to the nice restaurant, whatever. It was, those thoughts were gone because they weren't possibilities anymore. And what was possible was what was focused on.
Right.
What is possible is what was
That's exactly
on.
Right.
And kept them in the present moment.
And that's exactly right. Now, what I'm also hearing is the piece that is actually going to help us is that there are many people out there that are holding the energy of hope because of Obama being elected. Now, this is not, I'm not speaking politically here. I'm speaking energetically. Because it has nothing to do with whether you like Obama or you don't. That's not the piece. The piece is there are millions of people who do, or else he wouldn't have been elected. And there are millions of people who bought into the aspect of his hope government. His vision, there's an actual website that says share your vision that is like asking people to share the vision. And so what's going to be different this time is if people can hold the vision of and shift out of the fear, this actual economy will spiral. It will. It will not be the devastation to the level it could be. And that's because of the millions of people that are holding on to that hope. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And
that's what's different. So your original question was, what can we do to bring more prosperity into our lives? Wasn't that the original question?
Yeah, that's the gist of the question. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think what you, yeah, so what you said before about being grateful is one of the key aspects of it. But the other piece is trusting, and you know, I can only tell you from my own experience and from the experiences that I have observed that there comes a point at various times in our lives where we realize there's nothing more we can do. And it's at that point we literally have to drop the rope. We have to put our hands up to the divine and say, I don't know what you want from me. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't even know how I'm going to pay my next bill. So my only choice is to put myself totally in your hands. And at that point, when a person goes deep into surrender, and it's pure surrender, it's not surrender out of judgment, and it's not surrender out of anger, and it's not surrender out of anything but love. That surrender of is what actually can turn lives around, because that's your only option. For someone who is in a very dire straits, for them to continue to hold on onto the fear will only bring more fear on. So, for example, if there's folks out there that are worried about how they're going to pay their credit card bills, I suggest you release that. I suggest that you give it up. Because you know what? There's nothing you can do about it right now. And the worst case scenario is the credit card companies are going to call you. And when they call you, you have a choice there too. You can either answer the phone or you don't have to. And if you answer the phone, you say, I don't have the money. You're staying in your own integrity. And the reality is I'm not condoning not paying your bills. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying is there comes a point where everybody has to prioritize their funds in a way that supports themselves and their family. And when we have to be able to really look at what we're willing to do to survive. But part of that survival has to be that you stay within your own personal integrity of what's going to make you feel good about you. And I understand that not being able to pay your bills can make a person feel very sad and feel like they're not staying in their integrity. But the reality is, it's not being done on purpose. And the other piece is, even for the people who have to go bankrupt out there, you always have the choice to pay that money back. That's always a choice. And so the piece that we need to remember is that by literally, again, they're telling me, give up the struggle, move deep into your own awareness, and allow yourself to surrender your fear. Because there's a freedom when you release the fear. And by releasing the fear is saying, I've done all I can, there's nothing more I can do, I'm just not going to worry about it anymore. And that's the only thing that you can do for those people who are in those dire straits. And the other ones that are on the brink, then it's up to you to be able to decide what would have to happen in order for you to be able to feel free again? Because the lack of money also equates the lack of freedom. That also makes sense to you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, when you're broke, you feel constricted, right?
Yeah. When you're broke, you feel almost powerless in a way, in terms of going out and functioning in society. But then you realize, like, the more you obsess on something like that, well, that's what you're getting. And months ago, I had to change my focus into, like, seeing my bills being paid, like watching the check being written or whatever, and then letting go of it. And then, lo and behold, boom, all of a sudden all my bills are being paid because I wasn't focusing on the, oh, my God, I can't pay that bill.
Right.
You know, it switched around.
Exactly.
And I'm just looking at the next level, because pretty much my friends around me, their businesses are thriving. Even while a lot of, you know, all of these big box companies are starting to go under, you know,
right.
My friends' businesses are thriving because, for the most part, they're following their heart and doing work they love. And it shows. And people are kind of going and flocking to those businesses. You know, and they're small little businesses, but nonetheless, they're thriving. You know, while the news and everything else, everyone throwing out that fear would make you think that everything is going down.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And notice how they are actually shifting their consciousness in a way that they never did before. You know, because all the mom and pop stores, the little stores, and many of them they were fearful, and some of them actually were put out of business by the big box stores.
Yeah.
And it's now the mom and pop stores that are actually going to win when the big box stores are going to go under.
Yeah.
And that's not. I'm not condoning one or the other or both. That's not. It's just the way it is. But you're like the businesses that are following their heart. What kind of businesses are those?
Well, just for example, my one friend has a raw cafe.
Okay.
You know, she makes raw food. And,
yeah.
You know, every day she gets busier and busier.
Because people, why do you think that is?
I think it's because people are, like, you know, this is kind of like the wake-up call. You know, it's like every one of these things that happens is another wake-up call, and it's like another echelon of people, like, wake up. And, you know, I just started going to her cafe about a month and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
So there I was. So now I'm another customer, and I tell people about it. Other people, you know, it's been out for, she's been open about 5 months.
And where's she located?
In San Luis Obispo, California.
Well, give her a plug. What's the name of the place?
It's the Smiling Dog Cafe.
Smiling Dog Cafe. That sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. It's right hooked on to Smiling Dog Yoga in downtown San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
And
she has, is it a raw food bar or is it a restaurant? Do you sit down? What?
Oh, yeah. You can sit down there. It's a little kitchen, but, you know, it's raw, so you don't need all the stoves and what have you. It's a raw
yeah.
kitchen. And, you know, there's plenty of places to sit, you know, a little water fountain out in the courtyard, trees. It's a great location. And, you know, like she says, she makes magic with the food, you know.
She makes magic. That's great.
Yeah.
I can see that. Well, that's great. Tell me about your business.
I sell photographs.
And do you have a website?
I do, actually.
What's your website? So everybody can go see your beautiful art.
It's, Shaikenphoto.com, and I'll spell that for people.
Yep.
It's Shaikenphoto.com.
Okay. And what are the photos of?
I specialize in color night photography, and I also do low light photography and daylight photography. I take pictures around the clock.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you are also working with, have you taken any pictures of your crystals?
I haven't. That's an interesting thought. Wow.
Yeah, I wonder what your crystals would look like in at night.
That's
in the
interesting.
Moonlight.
Yeah, I haven't. I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good idea. And I guess because I don't have a huge collection of a lot of translucent crystals, but that's a good idea.
Yeah, but see, what'd be interested in is to take some crystals and phosphorus. Doesn't phosphorus glow at night?
Excuse me?
There's a thing called phosphorus. Doesn't it glow at night?
Oh. Yeah, they're possible. I know some of them do with black lights.
Yeah.
Huh.
Very interesting photos. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. Good idea. Photos of crystals.
Yeah. Right. So are you studying crystals now?
I've been studying crystals for about, I don't know, a couple years on and off, and really over the last year, because I just start feeling them, and it was strange, but that's what happened. So, you know, I put them in my hands, and every crystal had a different energy, and then it was transferring over to my other hand. So, I'm learning slowly, because there's so much information that, you know, it's just like one crystal you can spend a day with, and it's like, okay, and on to the next one. There's so many, I guess there's 5,000 or more different crystal mineral substances around that have energies and healing properties. So
interesting. Yeah. I know Bob, I'm hoping Bob from Minnesota calls in tonight, because we have a question from the wisdom seeker. She wants to know, can crystals be created by our intentions? Can they form from the earth or our immediate or can they form? Can they form from the earth in our immediate surroundings? So, what do you think about that question?
I think they can, and I heard in the past that the Akashic records were actually kept in quartz crystal.
Yeah, and there are quartz crystal. There are crystals that are quartz that are called record keepers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
right.
actually grow as you know, this unfoldment happens.
right.
But those
okay.
are specific record keeper crystals?
There are specific record keeper crystals, yeah.
And are they located in, I mean, I know some people have them, but are they located in specific areas around the planet?
No. They are quartz, but they're all over the planet. It's not just in certain areas. I'm hearing Madagascar has them, and Arkansas. Well, of course, Arkansas's got a lot of crystals. But the idea is that it's almost like you pick one up and you really kind of know it's a record keeper.
Okay.
Because it has a lot of lines in it.
Okay.
And it'll be, and some that are totally clear can also be record keepers from a clarity point of view. And then I personally had quartz crystals that were cloudy that I wore or held or had them in my field, and they became clear.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, they actually cleared out.
I wonder if you were helping the crystals release or if there was an exchange or you...
I think there was an exchange.
So what energy would you have brought in?
And they just cleared up. It's almost like I didn't really ask them at the time. All I know is that they were clear, and I felt better.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's really interesting.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So, yeah, I don't know if you got the answer to your question or not.
I got all kinds of answers. I'm going to have to listen again on the archive.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely answered, for sure.
Okay, all right.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, that's good. I tell you what, I'm going to hang up, and then somebody else is going to call in, and then if you feel like calling back, call back.
Okay, and if no one calls back, I just had a question, too.
Sure.
Like later in the show, maybe if you could talk about DNA activation in terms of how many strands were actually activating and any signs along the way, so we know if like we're in the third, or activating the third or fourth or anything like that.
Oh, talk about DNA. That sounds like an interesting
That
might be a whole show.
Okay.
A DNA show. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for that idea. I love these ideas for shows. So
yeah.
So people should email things that they want. You know, that's an interesting thing. I'm just doing a request. For people to call, to email me or call me with ideas for subject matter for shows from the Akashic Records. That's great. So we have crystals, we have DNA. That's wonderful. That's great. Subject matters with specifically on that. That I'll actually, there's a friend of mine that I know that is very versed in DNA, and I'll actually open the records and see what the record keepers have to say in more depth before we do the show on DNA. How about that?
That's great.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
That sounds like fun. So, but yes, I'd love to get emails from people with other subjects they would like the shows to be about. That will actually, that has helped me quite a bit.
Okay.
Because cool. Because you folks that are listening are the ones that I want to serve. So the listeners are the ones that I want to be able to, serve by, you know, having shows with your ideas. That's a great idea. So good. Keep it coming.
Okay.
All righty.
I'll let someone else call in.
Great.
Thank
okay.
you, Donna.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, JoJo. Bye. Okay. Well, that was a great conversation. So if you're out there, and Robert, Mr. Bob from Minnesota, if you're out there, give a call. I'd love to talk to you. And so for anybody else who would like to call in, let me give you the numbers. It's 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or Canada is 888-815-5227. 9756, or if you'd like to call direct, it's out of the country. Our area, our country code is 01-530-876-3222. Okay, all right. So I'm going to go back to. Oops, hello there. How are you?
Hi, Donna. This is Bob.
Hey, Bob from Minnesota. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good. I loved your email. I'm so glad you called. So talk to me about what you know about crystals. We'll do a whole show on it, but we're going to tease people a little bit with your information, and we can always do this again. How about that?
Well, that sounds great. It was I did catch a little bit of your previous discussion you were having there about the crystals and being record keepers and so on.
Right.
And that was actually one of their uses in Atlantis. They were actually used as we would use our computers and our hard drives and storage media and so on. And
okay.
That, you can actually use quartz crystals for the purposes of telepathic communication.
How do you do that?
Well, it's an orientation using three crystals and basically using your intent, consciousness, and a copper wire, which one of the individuals is holding, you create this telepathic communication. So.
Wait a minute. Do you have to be in the same space with the other person?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
So, at least that's the only method that I know of. But,
so wait a minute. So you have three crystals, right? Did you say three?
Right.
And you put them in a triangle?
Yes.
And you put the copper wire between each crystal?
Yes, you lay the wire underneath the crystal, and one person would be a length of wire that would run around the three crystals, and then one person would hold one end of the wire in each hand. So.
And then what happens?
Well, you begin a telepathic conversation with someone, and I think what's happening is that basically our consciousness and these higher density energies are picked up by the crystals and then communicated to the other person.
Interesting. So you know, it puts me in mind of you know, Alexander Graham Bell when he was figuring the phone.
Well, I think
wouldn't he wire some crystals together, you know?
I think that example is probably on the level of kind of a very fundamental or kind of a crude level. That probably, I'm sure there's higher orders of sophistication in order to use crystals for telepathic communication. But the modalities that I'm most familiar with are using the crystals for healing, healing ourselves. And
so, talk about that. So, how do you use the crystal to heal yourself?
There's actually two geometries that I use. One geometry is a six-pointed star, and the other geometry is actually a 12-pointed star. And the 12-pointed star is a geometry which is very powerful. And the crystals are arranged geometrically in a 12-pointed circle. And then yourself or who, the client that you might be working with, would lay down in that circle. And after a short time, there's a field of energy that begins to develop. And that field of energy begins to work with your energy body. It's particularly effective in basically balancing your electromagnetic energies, or balancing the electromagnetic energies of the body. It's very balancing, and it's very healing. If there's a practitioner, the practitioner can actually feel the field of energy. And it's not uncommon that if a person has a Reiki background or a reconnection background, that those energies are being amplified. And there's a rich tradition of using crystals in Reiki and that type of a thing, too.
So does a person put the crystal? Well, I know a lot of healers put crystals under their table. They're healing tables.
Right. And the six-pointed configuration would be a six-pointed star that would be, for example, on the floor, and then the person would sit in that. They would sit within that circle of crystals, so to speak.
So the client or the patient would sit in the circle, and
right.
Where would the practitioner be?
Outside of that, usually. And the practitioner, for example, initially would be outside of it because the initial part of it is simply building up a field of energy and letting the crystals basically do their work,
okay.
To begin to balance the energies of the body. And then if the practitioner would like to, they can move into that circle of energy, and then they can begin to exercise whatever modality of healing they'd like to exercise. If it's Reiki, they can begin to exercise some Reiki. In my case, being a reconnective healer, I begin to do the things that I would be doing if I was working in a reconnective healing session, for example.
Okay.
And what I found is that it's a very powerful synergy that develops. And it seems like in that combination of energies that there is a synergy which is greater than the sum of either two. So I've discovered that it's a really powerful healing modality.
Uh-huh. And so the question that this lady sent in, her name is Virginia. She wanted to know, can crystals be created by our intentions? And can they form from the earth in our immediate surroundings? Can you, like, create crystals just from your thoughts?
You know, I think that that would be possible. I think that what I do know that as we move towards our shift in consciousness in 2012, that our biology is moving towards a more crystalline kind of structure and basis. And so I think as we move into those higher densities, higher consciousness, that would be something that would be possible. Of course, quartz crystals come from the earth. In general, they're several hundred million years old. And quartz crystals, at least the ones that I work with, are the clear ones, and that's just simply silicon dioxide, and it's the combination of both silicon and water. And in fact, sometimes you'll get a crystal that might be a little bit white or a little bit milky in the base part of it, and that's just simply water vapor. And it's just simply silicon that has melted at 600 degrees, combined with water, and then cooled down and crystallized.
And so I'm curious, like when I said that I sometimes have, that I've worn crystals that were cloudy and they became clear, what would cause that? Do you know?
There would be, one of the things that I like about the quartz is the fact that you can, so to speak, program them and for different energies. and other experts that I've listened to have indicated that what you're actually doing is you're actually modifying or altering the matrix of the crystal at that point in time. And so it's possible that when you're wearing the crystal, that there's a shift in the energy matrix of the crystal, and that's causing that transformation.
Huh. That's very interesting. I mean, that's what's interesting about that is that, you know, is the actual energy exchange between this wonderful piece, between what looks like a rock and what is very still very much alive. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I've heard many people describe crystals as basically these very old beings that were, that were part of our Earth long before we were there. And so,
right. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. There is a... when you're programming a crystal, for example, you would hold it in one hand and you would move your other hand over it. And it's not uncommon for me to experience, let's say, for example, if I'm programming it for a specific purpose, I'll outline that, I'll consciously intend that, and then I'll ask the question, did you get it? And then all of a sudden, I'll get this zap of energy back, you know, kind of a Roger, you know, got it, that kind of a thing.
Uh-huh. But what do you do, in other words, like, how do you use the Akashic Records with your crystals?
Well, sometimes to fine-tune an energy field, depending upon what it is you're trying to heal, you might want to introduce the energies of other gemstones or other crystals.
Okay.
So, for example, then you might begin to integrate other gemstones, but what I've done is I've gone to the Akashic and for my own purposes, what gemstones should they be, how many of them should they be, and how do I incorporate that into the geometry, my basic geometry that I've already started with. And so you get a blend, so to speak, in the energy of the other crystals, which you've already decided to be beneficial for you, they're being amplified in that circle of energy.
Okay. And so you've gotten this information from the Akashic Records as to what you have to do?
For combining the geometries, yeah. That's what I've gone into the records for.
Huh. Interesting. So how are you, you know, you're using, in your email you said you're using sound and light and frequency?
And that, right, and that was... In Atlantis, that was the modality. It was the crystals, and it was sound, and it was light. And that was the healing modality. That was the primary healing modality within that culture. And so what I'd like to do is kind of move back in and see if I can begin to understand that modality. And I'm kind of in the initial stages of that. I've just begun to start using colored light, for example.
Uh-huh.
One way you can affect the energy of the crystal, and then also introducing sound. And for sound purposes, what I actually have is I have an inexpensive synthesizer. It's a keyboard synthesizer.
Uh-huh.
And the material that I've read for the purposes of sound vibration and so on, that it's actually... The best instrument that we have available to us today would be something on the order of the synthesizer. So.
Uh-huh. Huh.
So, when I have, I had opened my records a little bit earlier tonight, and I was sending you that email, and obviously one of the things is how do you integrate all of these, and why would you integrate them? And what came back out of the Akashic was, as well, a particular physical dysfunction within our body as a vibrational fingerprint.
Right.
So the purpose then is to basically identify what that vibrational fingerprint is and then using the trilogy of energies to adjust it.
Right. Well, what I'm actually getting around the the sound and the light, it's as what I'm hearing is that when we don't have our skin, in other words, like when we're in spirit, we are known by our frequency and our color.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a combination of color and frequency. So that when I recognize you or someone else that feels or looks what I think looks familiar, it's not that I really look and recognize their face. I'm recognizing their energetic imprint. I'm recognizing their frequency. And so as I recognize their frequency, there's also colors that are associated with these frequencies that are emitted, and that when we're talking about our light bodies, let's say we have disease or we have emotional traumas that need to be adjusted, that based on what's going on for the person, what I'm hearing is because the quartz crystal carries all the colors,
mm-hmm.
you know, has the prism of colors within it, no matter what kind of quartz you have, what I'm hearing is the prisms are within. And because those prisms are within, they are complete. The prisms are complete, are a complete color palette of the colors that can heal our various light bodies and actual physical internal bodies. And that when a human being holds a quartz crystal and then light, various colors of light are actually beamed onto them while they're holding that crystal, it's like that's amplified, because that's for whatever reason is needed in the energy field. And that each color has a corresponding frequency or tone. And those tones that are corresponding to the color then are being played or can be heard. Is this making any sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Okay. And so what's going on is about, now what I'm also hearing is I think there's certain colors that already have tonal frequencies of sound that have been developed by other people. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're accurate. It's not that they're not accurate, but it doesn't mean that they're the last word is what's being said. That there may be other frequencies or a variation of those frequencies that can be played based on what your guidance tells you when you're working with a client.
Okay.
So by opening your records and talking and asking the crystal, what tonal frequencies do you hold? And then going to your synthesizer and playing those frequencies, you could actually create with a spectrum of crystals, the different tones that a person would need. So they may hold two or three crystals. Let's say they're laying on a table, and you put. And by the way, I don't know anything about crystal healing, so I'm getting this from the records. All right, this is not a local Donna knowledge thing. I want everybody to know that this is coming from the records. What they're saying is that by putting a circle of crystals on, let's say, the solar plexus of a human, that and those individual crystals each carry a frequency. A dominant frequency. They're calling dominant frequencies that they have more than others. You can then hello.
Are these the same type of crystal? For example, are these all quartz crystals?
They could be. It depends on what the client needs.
Okay.
And so, but they all have different tonal qualities that you have, like talk to the crystals to find out what they are. And they each carry a dominant color. And so I think this is very interesting. I don't know if this is helping you with your work or not, but it sounds like they're giving the formula of how to use crystals to heal people.
Right, and interestingly enough, I think the bridge is actually using the Akashic Records then for asking the person, or asking to be guided what it is that that person needs in terms of the colors or tonal frequencies.
Sure, because the thing is, first of all, the preparation is by understanding what each crystal brings literally to the table. Mm-hmm. What is their dominant color and tone? What is their frequency? And then when you have a client there, you open their records, and the record keepers tell you what the dominant frequency that they need, or what crystals are needed for their basic, to basically balance them out, because as we all know, disease is an imbalance. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it is. You mentioned that with respect to quartz crystals, these are clear crystals, but they're complete in terms of their colors.
Right.
They have all of the colors, and I've always thought that, and I've always felt that as well, that these were kind of a broadband energy.
Right. But you know what? I didn't realize the time. We have to close. Because we have to close at 5 minutes of the hour.
Okay.
So, but this has been fascinating. We got to do this some more because I think people are interested in crystals. And so what I'm going to just ask everybody out there, if you like this information on the crystals, email me. If you want to talk to me personally, you can call me at 216-691-1233. And Bob, give them your information in case they'd like to talk to you.
Sure. I'll give you my phone number. And
sure.
Get a hold of me I'll give you my email, and it's rbrunches@hotmail.com.
Okay.
And the best way to get a hold of me would be on my cell phone, which is area code 612-816-7557.
Great. So everyone else out there, email me ideas that you would like, of programs you'd like to see, or like to hear rather, and also questions, and we will have Bob back on, we'll have some other crystal experts on, and we will go forward, and we'll also do that program on DNA, but we just got to schedule it all. This has been great. So I want to thank you all. Bob, thanks so much for calling in. And so for tonight, I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of these wonderful beings of light, both seen and unseen. We ask that everyone listening, may you have a wonderful week, a wonderful day, a wonderful life. May your hearts be opened, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records and say amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. You all join me in saying amen.
Amen.
Prosperous week, everyone. Have a great one. Bob, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks, Donna.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.